Before I get into today's message, I want to share something with you about our pastor. Oh, yeah. I wanted to imitate Pastor here. Children, you're dismissed. God bless you. I'm glad you brought that up. I missed Scotty back there. I didn't see him. One of the things I want to share before I get started on the message this morning, the sermon, I want to share something with you about our pastor. About four or five months ago, as most pastors do, he opened up the hymn of response, is what I call it, invitation, to come up and pray about whatever. And I walked that aisle, and I come down and I asked Pastor, I said, I need you to pray for me to find a job. I was employed, but the job that I had was breaking this old body down. I was working nights, weekends, on call. You all see me leave here and have to go to get somebody that needed oxygen. And I loved the job, but it was breaking the body down. It was just too much. I asked my pastor to pray. And the reason I asked my pastor to pray is I got a God that answers prayer, and I got a pastor that's not ashamed to pray. That's what kind of pastor we have. Now, I have not told him any of this. And less than 2 weeks later, I had another job. Working Monday through Friday. No nights, no weekends, no long calls. No heavy lifting of putting hospital beds together or anything like that anymore. But I get to minister, though I'm no longer a pastor, I get to minister in other ways by helping bringing kids to seek therapy for their mental illness, their anger, their depression. I get to haul them to the Ridge and then take them back home in the afternoons. That's my new ministry. When I resigned my position as pastor at New Hope Baptist Church, I don't know how many of you all know much about the contemporary Christian music, but I resigned and then they had a dinner like 2 weeks later. But that day of resignation, I got out in the car. Tarn Wells played a song that said, God's not done with you yet. Here I am this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. I did have another set of scripture that was on there, Romans 8, 2, but I won't be using that one today. So it's just John 8, 34 through 36. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. John 8, 34 through 36. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for sending your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, so that we can be free. Well, Father, we needed healing, but we needed the healer more. And you sent him our way. Father, I thank you for the men and women that were recognized here this morning in our services that fought for our freedom. Father, I pray that we never take that freedom for granted. Because, Father, there's countries all over the world that doesn't have the freedom that we do. Father, that we have freedom to raise our hands up in worship and in praise to you when the Holy Spirit leads us to. A freedom to gather in a public building like we are right now to worship, to honor and to glorify your name, Lord. Father, thank you for that freedom, and I thank the men and women here this morning for that freedom. Father, again, I mentioned the Kentucky Changers that are going to Pineville. Father, place someone in their path that they can share the gospel with. These teenagers, I call kids, these teenagers and the adults that are going, they are the hands and the feet of Jesus. Father, be with our pastor and his family while they're on vacation. Father, I pray that he's gotten some much-needed rest. Father, be with those who have lost loved ones. May you place a hedge of protection around them, a hedge of comfort. Be with those that are less fortunate. Be with those that are suffering from sickness. Heal their bodies and their pain. And Father, it's in your name that I pray these things. Jesus Christ, the resurrected one. Amen. 2 days ago on July 4th, we celebrated our nation's 249th birthday. It was a little over 2.25 centuries ago that the United States was born. A nation based on the ideals of liberty, responsibility, godliness, and freedom to become what God intended us to become was a new and revolutionary idea. The celebration of our nation's birthday is really a celebration of freedom. We celebrate the precious gift of freedom we have because of the price others have paid. You know, not only is it the men and women that serve in the military that sacrifice, but it's their families as well. I don't know how many of you watch videos online of reunions of people, soldiers, men and women that have come home and see the reunions. And the tears flow, even from the people that are watching them. When I pastored up in New York at Indian River Baptist Church, we were about 7 miles from the second largest army base in the United States called Fort Drum, New York. We got to see firsthand. I had some soldiers in my congregation and families. We got to see firsthand the sacrifices that those made. Freedom isn't free. It has cost some people everything, including their lives. Freedom isn't free. Our founding fathers believed valuable enough to risk everything on. They risked their fortune, their families, their reputations, and their honor. They risked their lives. And many of them paid for our freedom with their blood and the blood of their children. I love each and every one of you here. And I mean that. But I don't love you enough to give up my son for you. Just think how big the love of God is. That he gave his one and only begotten son for us. While I was a sinner, he gave his life for me. He gave his life for you so that we can be free. We could be the hands and feet of Jesus just like these children that were. And I call them children. I know they probably don't like that teenager status. But that they get the opportunity to go share the love of God. In a letter to William Smith dated November 13, 1787, Thomas Jefferson wrote these words, "Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. No, freedom is not free. It's always paid in the price of blood. The blood spilled on battlefields was not the first time blood was spilled for freedom. Over 2,000 years ago, a young man's blood was spilled upon the ground so that we could all experience freedom." You find in the verses John 8:34 through 36, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to it, is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I don't know what your status is with God, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, whether you're a believer or not a believer. But as a Christian, yes, I'm still a sinner. But when I confess those sins to Jesus Christ, He forgives me of those sins. And I have to do this daily. Lisa, I tell you right now, I'm not perfect. My hair's perfect, but... Well, I pray for those that are on Facebook that see the glare. I haven't turtle waxed it in a month, so... But... God forgives us of our sins. You know, for the life of me, and I'm as guilty as anybody. Do y'all know what this area is called up here? What's this called? Say it out loud. What's it for? And to confess. This church, this carpet down here, looks like that carpet out there. It ought to be worn. It ought to be tattered because it's been used so much. And I'm as guilty as anybody about not coming down here when God leads me to. Yeah, I'm not always a follower all the time. I'm a follower, but not... I don't always confess my sins up at the altar. Now, I'm not saying that this is the only place that you confess it, because it's not. We celebrate an independence and as a nation that is temporary. A day will come when we no longer enjoy the freedoms we have. Nevertheless, we celebrate our independence. But should we not daily celebrate our independence from the tyranny and bondage of guilt, sin, fear of death, fear and death, an independence won over 2,000 years ago. Should we not celebrate and discover the depths of an independence that will last for an eternity? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I was 12 when I accepted it. Accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How many of you did you know that you start spending eternity with Jesus on the day that you accept Him into your heart and life? That very day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you admit that you're a sinner, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and 3 days later rose again, you confess those sins to Him, and you ask Him to come into your heart and life, and then maybe just a few weeks later the pastor leads you through believer's baptism, but that baptism... Pastor will tell you the same thing. It doesn't lead you to heaven. It doesn't get you saved. It's admitting, believing, and confessing and asking Jesus Christ into your heart and life. That you start immediately that day that you accept it and He comes in, you get to spend, you start spending eternal life with Jesus. While we're still a sinner here on earth, we start spending eternal life with Him. Three things I want to share with you about freedom. The first one is we have freedom from guilt. Our past can haunt us, and I want to ask you this morning, please don't answer out loud. Have you been dragging your past around? You know what I mean. You've done things in the past that have hurt others or maybe have hurt you. You may have failed miserably in the past, and you may have failed at your marriage. You may have failed at parenting. You may have failed financially because of your own irresponsibilities. But yet, You allow that guilt of your failings to drag you around. You're free from that. Your past sins are an anchor that keep you earthbound when your heart no longer wants to be, but to reach to the sky. How'd you like to be free from that guilt? There's one word that describes it, and it's called forgiven. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, and death, are gone. The gift of our Master Jesus Christ gives us a gift of freedom. 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, He is so rich in kindness that He purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son. Our sins are forgiven. Ephesians 1:7, it says, Because of the work Jesus did in winning your freedom, you don't have to carry your guilt around with you anymore. You can release it and it be free. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you don't have to drag your past around anymore? You admit that you're a sinner. You come to the altar. You admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died on the cross and 3 days later rose again. Then confess those sins to Him. Give that past up to Him. Do not pick it up. Whatever it is that you lay down here, when you lay it at the altar, you leave it at the altar. Amen? Okay, you're still awake. When you lay it down at the altar, leave it at the altar. I'm guilty of both. Sometimes I pick it back up, but then I don't follow along with the song that goes, I surrender all. We can have that freedom of forgiveness like it's a breath of fresh air. We can have that freedom of forgiveness that Jesus, the Son of God, offers it to us. We can come to Jesus, the Son of God, and let Him set us free and be free from guilt. The second one is we can be free from freedom from consequence. He died in our place. He didn't have to. He could have sent those 10,000 angels, but He didn't. You know why? Amen. You know why? His love for us kept Him on that cross. His love for Barry, His love for you kept Him on that cross. Why? Because He loved us that much to shed His blood so that we can have freedom from our sins and spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. We can have freedom from consequence. The guilt we talk about is the consequence of our sin, but there's one consequence, no matter how hard our heart and how seared our conscience we must all face, is the ultimate consequence for sin is that of death. Not just physical death, but the Bible teaches that we'll all face judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says everyone has to die once, then face the consequences. That verse tells us that there is a consequence for our sin. What is it? Romans 6:23 states it clearly. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal in Jesus Christ our Lord. In order for that to be a gift, there has to be a giver. There also has to be a receiver. Otherwise, there's no gift. It's just there. God offers us that gift, and whether we're a receiver or not, that's totally up to you. According to the scriptures, the ultimate consequence for our sin is one that we cannot pay, but we don't have to because Christ has already paid it. The penalty for our sins has already been paid, our account has been accredited, and we are, as we saw it a minute ago, no longer guilty. When I ask God into my heart and life, Not only did he come into my heart and life and save me and I get to spend eternity with him, he wiped the slate clean. But yet the old devil likes to work against Christians. Sometimes I fall into that temptation. You all can see that one of the things I never preached on is a pastor's gluttony. You see why. But yet, gluttony is a sin. I remember that when I eat that second piece of chocolate pie after a while. Hopefully I won't eat too many of it. But the penalty for our sins already been paid. The key word there is vicarious. It's a big fancy word that means done by one person substituting for another. Christ has dealt with the consequences for our sin. And you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he was receiving the consequences of my sin and also of your sins. In John 19, we read the story of the death of Jesus Christ. And at the end of it, when he died, he called out and said, what? It is finished. He completed it. He completed the penalty for my sins, not his. He took my sins. And I took my sins and laid them at the foot of the cross. Though he didn't have to do it, he did it because of his love for me. He deemed me worthy, though I know I'm not. What God says goes. And I believe him. Bible says it, so therefore I believe it. It is finished. Which could also be translated in any translation, paid in full. When you get your house paid off, you get a title that says free and clear or something like that. Or your car title when you get it paid off, the liens against it. When Jesus died on the cross, there was no lien put on us. He took the debt and said, it is finished. The third thing I want to share with you this morning is the freedom from accusation. We've already looked at freedom from guilt and our past can't haunt us, and we're free from the ultimate consequence of our sinful lives. Christ has paid our debt. Now we have the freedom from accusation. We no longer have to live in fear. Colossians 1:22, it says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. How nice is it to not have to run and hide? And everybody, I hope you all know that we can't hide from the Lord. Didn't work for people in the Bible. It ain't going to work for us either. Didn't work for Moses when he says, I'm not an eloquent speaker. Yet he led his people across the desert. Didn't work for Jonah. We all know what happened to him. And if you don't, open up your scripture into the Old Testament. It's a good fish story, but it's true. How nice is it not to have to worry about what someone else will find out about you? How would it feel to be free? How do you think it would feel to be free of accusation? Would you have a sense of relief or a sense of release? Would you feel as though a weight had been lifted from your shoulders? There's a reason that Jesus set us free from accusation, is because when we surrender to him and let him have control of our lives, he makes us blameless. And that's the key word there, is blameless. Because of what Jesus did for us upon the cross, we are blameless. before God when we know His Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord and Savior. The word blameless means to be free of guilt, not subject to blame. I can't blame you for my sins. I can try, but it ain't going to work. And you can't blame me for yours. You can try, but it ain't going to work. Free from guilt, free from consequence, free from accusation. As I said a minute ago, Jesus took care of the eternal consequences of our sin, but He did more than that. He also took care of our guilt. He satisfied the requirements of the law. When a law is broken, a death was required. He paid that penalty for us. Therefore, not on our own, but through Him, we're free of guilt and not subject to blame. We can stand before God and our fellow man and not fear accusation. Now, being free of accusation doesn't mean that accusation will not come, because it will. I mentioned a while ago about the slate being wiped clean. Do you know that the devil doesn't attack the lost people, the non-believers? He doesn't attack them because he's already got them. He goes after the Christians. He goes after you and he goes after me because he wants us. But I don't know how many of you retain an attorney here on earth, but I got the best defense attorney for eternity in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I stand at the seat of judgment, Jesus is my defense attorney. And I'm going to stand before the Lord. And Jesus is going to say, I died for this one. He's mine. He's ours. We need not fear accusations. We're now free of guilt. We're no longer subject to blame. The account has been laid to rest, and we can live without the fear of a hidden past being brought to light. It has already been brought to light and dealt with. You see, when we don't turn to Jesus and confess our sins and allow Him to cleanse us, we're slaves to our past, to our guilt, and susceptible to accusations. But once we come free, we're free of accusations and are no longer a slave. When we come to Jesus, the Son of God, and let the Son set us free, we are free from guilt, the consequences of our sinful life, and also accusation. This week, we celebrated the freedom of our nation. More than that, we celebrated the sacrifice necessary to give us the freedom we so deeply love. But there's a greater freedom than that of political freedom. That's a freedom that we can have in Jesus Christ if we'll place our faith and trust in Him. If we will surrender to Him. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. You may be here this morning. You've never walked down the aisle and asked Jesus Christ, admitted that you're a sinner, believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and you confess those sins. You may be here this morning and never took in those steps. You had the freedom to do so today. No one's going to take that freedom away from you. But you also have a freedom to live in that life that your past haunts you. That you're not free from consequence. That you're not free from accusations. You can continue to live that life, or you can turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Let Him wipe your slate clean. All you have to do is ask Him for forgiveness. You may be here this morning and a Christian and not walking the way that God wants you to. I've been there and I've done that. The altar's open. You can come and seek His forgiveness for that and pray that God shows you the direction that He wants you to go. You may be here this morning, you need to rededicate your life. Ask God to show you that direction. You may be here this morning looking for a church home. And you believe that Central Baptist Church is a church that God wants you to join and be active in. Tell others about Jesus. This invitation's for you. Father, we thank You for the freedom that we have. The freedom that we have that we can share the gospel with others. Father, I, like Moses, can use the excuse that I'm not an immaculate speaker, but You still used this country boy, this farmer's son. Father, there's not one person here this morning that You cannot use. No matter how little they are or how old they are, You can use us all. And Father, it's my prayer this morning that we celebrate the freedom that we have because of Your death on the cross and Your love for us, that You died for our sins. Father, may those that You have spoken to this morning feel free to come to the altar for whatever reason, Lord. That's what this altar's for. You and I both know that. Father, I thank You so much for the freedom to be able to preach and to worship and to glorify You in a country to where we can say in God we trust and mean it. Father, I love You and I praise You and I ask these things in Your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand, please.